Today's daf is Bava Kama Daf Tes Vav. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, about five lines before the end of the page. We're elaborating on the Mishnah that told us who is included in Dine Nezikin and who is kosher to be an aid for Nezikin. So we're going to first discuss Alpi Edim, that Nezikin has to be verified based on Edim, to teach us that there's a difference whether someone is Moda B'Knas, that if it's an issue of Moda B'Knas, then you're going to be Potter because it wasn't verified Alpi Edim. The Gemara is going to discuss what it means that those Edim have to be both B'nai Bris and B'nai Chorin. What do we learn from each of those phrases? The Gemara is going to have three different sources that women are included in Dinei Nezek, and then we're going to have to explain why do you need three different sources that women are included in Dinei Nezek? What does each source add that the other source doesn't already have? Then about two-thirds of the way down the page, the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether Palganiska Mamona or Palganiska Knasa. If a Shar Tam gores somebody and he pays Chatzi Nezek, is that a din in Mamon or is that a din in Knas that a Shar Tam pays Chatzi Nezek? The Gemara is going to have three rayos, whether Palganiska Mamona, Palganiska Knasa. Toward the middle of them, it's going to come to the halachic conclusion that Palganiska is Knasa. And then it's going to bring out the halachic ramification of saying Palganiska Knasa, L'may Nafkamina, whether it's Mamona or Knasa. Then if we get to it, the Mishnah on the bottom of them, is going to list what an animal is considered a tam for and what an animal is considered a muad for. And the Gemara is going to point out that there seems to be a stira in the Mishnah whether Karen b'chatzar anizik pays chatzi nezik or pays nezik shalem. And well into tomorrow's off, we're going to have four different approaches to dealing with that stira of whether Karen b'chatzar anizik pays chatzi nezik or pays nezik shalem. So let us begin five lines from the bottom of the page at Alpi Edim on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. Alpi Edim. So we said that in order to be chayiv for Nezikin, it has to be Alpi Edim, it has to be done based on witnesses. Meaning witnesses have to verify that the person is chayiv for the damages or the person that damaged the other person. Prat l'moda b'knas v'achar kach bo'u edim shu patr. This excludes if a person was already moda b'knas and then edim came with testimony that would have been mechayiv him in the knas, then he's going to be patr because of moda b'knas is patr even if edim show up afterwards. That's the rule of moda b'knas. Says the Gemara, hani chalamani moda b'knas v'achar kach bo'u edim patr. That works out very well if you assume that moda b'knas v'achar kach bo'u edim is patr. El mani moda b'knas v'achar kach bo'u edim chayiv ma'ikal meimar. But if you hold that the rule is that when you're moda b'knas and then edim show up, you're going to be chayiv. It's as if you were never moda because now there's edus to the fact that you're chayiv. So then what are you going to say? What's the Mishnah teaching us when it says al pi edim? Says Gemara, nothing. It's not teaching us anything. Seifet shrichalei. The whole chiddush of the Mishnah is in the next line of the Mishnah. What do these edim have to be when it qualifies that it's not just al pi edim, but the edim have to be b'nei chorin, u'b'nei bris? There's the chiddush. It's not that you need edim bichlal, it's what kind of edim you need. Now, in terms of the rule, moda b'knas v'achar kach, or in general, moda b'knas pater, the Ketzos has a gevaldik chiddush in Simon Shin Nun, where the Ketzos says each Beis Din is viewed independently. The Ketzos suggests that if a guy is moda b'knas, this Beis Din that he was moda in cannot be mechayiv him. But if they were to go to some other Beis Din afterwards, edim were to show up to some other Beis Din after the guy was moda in Beis Din A, edim show up to Beis Din B, then he's going to be chayiv in the knas. So that's a very great chiddush because it seems to take all the teeth out of the din of moda b'knas being pater, because you could always still be mechayiv, and all you got to do is find another beis. And so a lot of the achronim aren't so pleased with that chiddush of the Ketzos. But bottom line is, so back to our Gemara, what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? It's the fact that the edim need to be b'nei chorin u'b'nei bris. What does that teach me? What does each of those phrases teach me? B'nei chorin l'mutei avadim. You have to be b'nei chorin, they cannot be avadim. B'nei bris l'mutei avdei kochavim. And b'nei bris tells me that they cannot be avdei kochavim. Why do I need to be told both of those things, that they can't be avadim and that they can't be avdei kochavim? Utzricha. Diashmin an eved, if it only would have told me that an eved is possible to be an aid, mishum de'in lo yachas, I would say, yeah, that's because an eved has no yichus, and that that Amadoma lechamar. We say Shvulchem po imachamar, and we darshan Amadoma lechamar that he has no actual yichus on his own. Avol nachri diyeshalach diyeshlo yachas emalo. But a guy who at least has some level of yichus, meaning the nations of the world, they do have yichus that they're considered members of that nation based on their father's affiliation. Say emalo. I might think that they are not disqualified from being an aid because it's almost like they have a greater sense of humanity, a greater sense of independence, that maybe they should be able to be an aid. V'yashmin a nachri, and if it only would have told me that a nachri is not allowed to be an aid, mishum d'lo shayach b'mitzvos, I would say that's because a nachri is not shayach b'mitzvos, he's not chayv b'mitzvos. Aval eved is shayach b'mitzvos, but an eved who is chayv b'mitzvos, Emalo. So I might think he's not considered he would not be disqualified from being an aid. Meaning, if it only would have told me a nachri is disqualified, I would say, of course a nachri is disqualified. He's not chayv in mitzvos, but an eved is chayv in mitzvos, ki'isha at least. He's chayv in mitzvos that a woman is chayv in. Maybe not all the mitzvos, but a mitzvos that a woman is chayv in. So I might think he can be an aid as well. Tzricha, that's why he needs to tell me that he cannot be an aid either, even though he is chayv in mitzvos. The Rambam in Hilchos Niskei Momon Paraches Halacha Yud Gimel writes that Einan Nizakin Mishtalman Vein Chayv B'Kofar Vein Abeimen Areges Ela Beraya Brura Ube'edim Aksherim Lahayid. That if you want to be mechayv anyone for nezek, you need edim that are kosher. And the Rambam says Shalol Tomar. Don't think to say Hol Vein Mitzuyin Ba'Orvos Hasusim Uberefes Habakar V'Gidros Hatzon Ela Havadim Varoim Chayotzimen. You might think, well, there are certain circumstances where you're never going to be able to find kosher edim. Who's dealing with the sheep? Who's dealing with the horses? It's always the avadim. There's never going to be, if anything happens between your flock and someone else's flock, the only people around are the shepherds. So maybe you would think, since it's impossible to ever find edim in those kinds of situations, we should listen to edim psulim. So if katanim or nashim are made, that we should be so mechanit, says that I'm eina davar ken. You can't say that. That you need edim that are kosher to be made for everything in order to be chayiv for any sort of nezek. Chumas Hadash and Chuvas and Shinun Gimel says that the Rambam writes that a behemoth is only nareges beraya brura, because you might have thought that only avadim and akum are not naaman, because you have the reasons that the Gemara identified to disqualify avadim and akum. Avadim that they don't have any yachas, and akum that they're not shayach in mitzvos. But nashim and ketanim, where these reasons don't apply, there is yichus, there are mitzvos. So you might say that when there's no availability of edim ksherim, that you should rely on nashim uketanim. So that's why the Rambam has to say you need a raya brura. You need whatever we would consider kosher edus anywhere else. But the Chumash Sedeshan says, we see from here that there's a svara at least to believe psulim where they're more commonly found than ksherim are. So he says maybe you could say by nizakim we pasul them la'edus because we're concerned that gazlanim will just hire them to be made and lo shafkas chay lekol beria. Meaning why taka don't we rely on this svara that they're the only people that are around and therefore we need to rely on them because we're concerned that it will just be so easy to hire them and to get them to say things that. That the person wants them to say. But says the Chumash Sedeshan, maybe one can suggest that things that are clearly ba'akra'i, things that clearly just happened, like in Makomos Bebeis HaKnesses Shal Nashim, let's say a fight breaks out in the Ezras Nashim, and someone hurts somebody else. So all of the Edim are women. Now that's not something that some Gazlan is going to go and hire the woman that had no idea that a fight was going to break out in the Ezras Nashim. Says the Chumash Sedeshan, maybe then you can be Somech on Nashim for Eidos. A very great Chiddush. Pashas, what the Rambam is saying is the exact opposite of that. The Rambam is saying, I don't care what the circumstances are. The halachos of Eidos are that only people who are kosher to be made are allowed to be Eidim. If you're not kosher to be made, you're not allowed to be an Eid. But that's the Chiddush of the Chumash Sedeshan. That maybe that's only B'derech Kavua, but B'derech HaKroi, maybe it would be different. Says the Gemara further, Nava Nashim Bechlal HaNezek. The Mishnah said that women are also included in Dinei Nezikin. minani mili. So how do I know that women are included in dinei nezikin? The question itself is somewhat troubling. Rabbeinu Peretz points out, why do I need a pasuk to tell me they're included? There's a specific pasuk to tell me that they're pasul le'edus. Sounds like without a pasuk, they're automatically included. They're automatically like men, but probably because of one of these answers that the Gemara says, that we would assume women are automatically like men. So why do we, what's the reason, what's the source for the idea that women are the equivalent of men when it comes to dinei nezikin? Three possibilities. Ish o isha kiyasu mikol chatos. The pasuk says ish o isha kiyasu mikol chatos. So we darsh from there. Hishva akas of isha leish, that with the Torah links, the Torah connects, equates an isha leish lekol onshin shabatora. That for any onesh in the Torah. So that pasuk is talking about someone who steals and is nishva l'sheker. So it's telling us for all averos that a person gets punished on, a woman is also included. That's answer number one. Rabbi Lazar has a different brisa that it says at the beginning of all dinei nezikin, when the Torah starts to elaborate on all the halachas of nezikin, ve'ela hamishpatim asher tasim lefnehem, that in front of the Bnei Yisrael, of all of the Bnei Yisrael, we have these mishpatim. Hishva kas v'yishalish l'kal dinim shebetorah. So we see all of dinei mamonos was said not only to men, but was said to women as well. So we see for all dinim in the Torah. And then the third possibility, to be chiskiya v'Rabbi Yossi Aglili Tana, that they taught a brisa amar kra, the pasuk when it talks about a shor killing a person, says vehemis ish o isha, that if the shor kills a man or a woman, we stone that shor and v'gamba alav yimas. So you see that even if it killed a woman, the balei ashar are chayiv in kapara. So hishva kos v'isha l'ish l'kol misa shabatara, that even the killing of a woman is the same as the killing of a man, and it has exactly the same dinim. So you see, in all three of these psukim, we have a specific drasha to tell me that women are treated the same as men when it comes to dinim in the Torah. Says Gemara Utsrichi, and we need all three of these psukim. Diyashmin kamaisa. If I only would have had the first of these drashos, that you have to bring a carbon for swearing, even a woman has to bring carbon for swearing falsely, so I would say hasamud chas rachmanala ki echid tavila kapara. That's the Torah having rachmanas on her so that she could have kapara for swearing falsely. Aval dinim, but when it comes to dinim amunis, I might think ishtabar masu matan in Ishalo. When it comes to Ve'ela Mishpatim, all the normal dinim of dinim mamonos, that those apply to a man because men are typically the one that do business. So women are not. So I might have thought that women are not included. That's why it has to add beyond the din of kapara. So the first chiddush that a woman gets kapara is a lesser chiddush because of course the Torah wants to have rachmanos and let her get kapara. If you look at Tosfos in the first wide line, Mishum kapara chas rachmanallah, he says, is that really the greatest rachmanos to tell us that she can get kapara? You know, it would be an even bigger rachmanos to tell us that she's not, that it's low hishva kasuv isha l'ishla kolon shen shabatara, to tell me that she's not included in the surim in the Torah in the first place. That would have been an even greater rachmanos. V'im tomar im lo hukshu linyan onshin klal kol shkein davachas ala tvei, it would be an even greater rachmanos. Shalo aya ba onesh v'lo isa tzricha kapara klal, she wouldn't even need a kapara because she would not be included in any isser. Yeshlomer di isser chala onshin maksum behedi benashim gona ray. There are definitely certain averos that women are included in the Torah, like arayos, where you can't do without a woman, except for one of the arayos, you can't do without a woman, or two of them, behema and ish. But typically speaking, for arayos, a woman is explicitly included in arayos. So there are going to be cases where a woman is included in an onesh, in an iser, so then it's a rachmanos to be able to enable them to get a kapara. But in a chinami, generally speaking, it would be a greater rachmanus to not include them in the Yisra at all. Says the Gemara further, the V'i Ashminan, dinin, and if it only would have told me legabe dinim that women are included, I would say they need to be included in order that people will be willing to do business with them so that they could be able to live. Let's say she doesn't have a breadwinner to support her, so she needs to be able to engage in business. But if she's not going to be responsible for any dinim, no one will ever want to go near her in business. Aval kapara ishta bar mitzvah in ishta dvav bas mitzvah lo. But by kapara, I would say a man who's chayiv in mitzvos is included in kapara, but a woman who's not chayiv in mitzvos not included in kapara. Tosfos Kiddushin points out women are chayavos mitzvos, and we just said on top of the amud that an eved is different than a goy because an eved is chayiv in mitzvos. What mitzvos is chayiv in? Ki isha. So it's all a matter of it's all relative that women are chayiv in mitzvos more so than a guy. Women are considered pater mitzvos because they're pater in more mitzvos than a man is pater from. So in that sense, she's not included in mitzvos. But of course, women are chayavos in mitzvos. There are only a handful of mitzvos that women are actually pater from. You know, we're so used to talking about mitzvah shazman grama, that women are pater from mitzvos asay shazman grama. How many are there that women are actually pater from? Most of the mitzvah shazman grama women are actually chayiv in because there's nafhin hayibos aneis, kol sheyasham b'shamar yasham b'zachar, kol sheyasham b'altol chamiz yasham b'kumach l'matzah. There are all sorts of exceptions of mitzvah shazman grama that women are in fact chayavos, but there are a few. So since there are a few mitzvos that women are pater from, so mele we say that she's not bechlal mitzvos as much as a man is. V'yeshmin hani tarti. And if we only would have had these first two psukim, one about the kapara and the other about dine mamunus in general, we would have said yes, those are the places where women are included, because hachamishum kapara v'hachamishum chiyusa, because there's a specific reason by each place to include women, that we should have the rachmanus to give them kapara, and so that they should be able to live. Avalin katala, but when it comes to ashor killing a woman, ish to bar mitzvah l'shalim kofer, I might think that the chiyuv to pay kofer is only for killing a man who's a bar mitzvah, but who's included in mitzvos, but ishalo, a woman who's not included in mitzvos, is not chayiv in every mitzvah, is chayiv in fewer mitzvos than a man, maybe that's not enough mitzvos to generate a chiyuv kapara. V'yashmin kofer, and if it only would have told me the din of kofer, that when a shor kills a woman, they chayiv kofer as well, mishum di'ika ibn neshama, I would say, yeah, that's because there's a loss of human life. Avalhani tarti, but the other two dinim, the din of karban for swearing falsely, and dinim mamlus, the lucky ibn neshama, where there is no loss of life, emot lo, I might have thought that a woman would not be included, tsricha, that's why I need all three of these sources to include women in all elements of dinim. Now, if you look at the top tosos, hishva kosav isha l'ish, so we're trying to draw a rule out of these three places, that whenever you have any din in the Torah, we automatically apply it equally to men and women. Tos says, not always. He says, Hayru davka hechada parsha namra b'loshon zachar ki dresh temura. That's when the Torah speaks b'loshon zachar, and one might have thought the Torah is speaking only to men because it's just using a lashon zachar, the verbs that it uses, the adjectives that it uses are lashon zachar, so you might have thought that it only applies to men. So that's where we need to be told, hishva kosvi shalish. But, says Tosos, where the Torah specifically says, Heicha diksiv ish behedya, where the Torah specifically uses the word ish explicitly, then it's talking only to men, not to women. We don't say Hishva kasav ishal ish. Hishva kasav is where it just uses a zachar terminology, but it never identifies that we're talking only to ish. Then we say it applies to women as well. But when the Torah specifically goes out of its way to say ish ki yikalel, it specifically says ish in the Torah, then it's talking only to men and not to women. Another important Tosos, the next one, Hashem tasim lefeim, hishva kasav ishal ish, Tema, it says Ashatasim Lifnayam, so we darshan from there that an Isha and Ish are equal in dinim. So he says Tema, Halifnayam, Lawari Elabikshirim Ladun. Tasim Lifnayam means you're gonna bring in front of the judges. Judges are only people who are kosher to judge, and a woman is not. The chayin darshin perak basim to get in lefneim v'lo lefnei adiotos. V'isha psula ladun. The tan perak basim says in Nida, kala kosher ladun kosher lehayid, v'isha psula lehayid. Because the rule of being a judge is you need to be a kosher witness in order to be a kosher judge, and a woman is not a kosher witness, so she can't be a kosher judge. K'damrin b'achovel, perak shvos eidus. So what's going on over here? How could we learn from Asher Tasim lefneim to include women? Lefneim is a reference to the Dayan Dayanim, and a woman's not allowed to be a Dayan. Yeshlomar di parak basimin be'ish ari. Klomar kol ish ha-kashaladim kashalayim. Maybe this rule that only those who are kasher to be edim are kasher to be judges is true of men. If you want to know whether a man is kosher to be a judge, see if that man is kosher to be a witness, or if there's something that disqualifies him. Is he an avaryan, a ganavur? So that you would have to see if he has any disqualifying characteristics. But a woman who is not kosher to be an aid, because women are psulei edus, nevertheless is kosher to be a judge. Umidichsiv, and after all, Pasuk says vihi shaftas Yisrael v'devora. So maybe you could bring a raya. Devora was a shofetes. What does shofetes mean? It means she was a judge. So maybe you bring a raya from there that a woman is able to judge. Says tells us, nah, ain't lahavi raya. Diishik sheru ladun. You can't bring a raya from there that a woman could judge. Teshemayim mekablenosa alehem mishum shchina. Maybe that was a specific situation where they were mekabel her as a judge because the shchina said so. Meaning because she clearly had ashras hashchina, and therefore they accepted that as a siman that she should be a judge. But that's an exception. It's not the rule. This Tosos is one of the major marmakomos that they bring this, and Tosos Maseches Gittin, that they bring in the whole discussion about ordaining women and what women are allowed to do, not allowed to do. Can a woman be a shul president? Can a woman be a mashgiach for kashrus? Can all these discussions. So this Tosos is one of the major discussions. What do we do with Devorah? If you want to be machmir, what do you do with Devorah? So Tosos says, Devorah is an exception, mishum shchina. Says the Maritz Chayis, can the Shechina really make exceptions to Halacha? He says, Tosas writes that she was done al pi adibur. So it's but he says, so that's what it means, that she was an exception al pi the Shechina, that it was al pi adibur that she issued her judgments. So v'inei adin mevor, says Maritz Chayus, da asa l'chacham ladin laharus al pi anavua, d'chsiv lo b'shamayim, hi ve'la mitzvah she'na v'irashi l'chadishtav, v'ein mashkichun baskol. The rule is in Gan Shas, we never listen to the Shechina when it comes to dinim. We say, we don't listen to a nevua, we don't listen to a baskal to make these determinations. So how was it that she was allowed to judge al pi adibur? So he says, no, but what Tos says over here is a little bit more. He says, by dine mamonis, the halacha is you're allowed to be makabel on yourself that a karav apostle should be kosher. So because they saw that she had this ashras hashchina, they were makabel her, and being makabel her is the key. That's what makes her kosher ladan. Just like you could be makabel gimel roe bakar, you could take three people who are amaratzim who don't know anything, but you want to accept them because you trust that they're honest people. So you're allowed to be makabel them as judges. So you can be makabel a woman as a judge. That's what Tosos is saying over here. That specifically when it comes to that's why Devorah was able to be a judge. Okay, further in the Gemara now. Hanizik v'amazik p'tashlumin. The Mishnah said that sometimes the payment is going to be split, it's going to be divided between the mazik, who you would assume naturally is going to be the one to pay, and the nizik, that the nizik is also included in tashlumin. Say itmar. So we're going to come back to that line through the following discussion. First, we have this separate discussion. When a short tam gores, he only pays chatzi nezek. That palga niska. Rav Papa amar mamona, Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua amar knasa. Rav Papa says it's a din mamon, Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua says it's a din knas. Meaning, the Gemara explains, Rav Papa amar mamona, Rav Papa is din mamon, which means kasavar stam shvarim, la b'cheska shimur kayamin. That a regular shor you cannot assume is going to be calm and is not going to do anything and you don't have to guard it. No, it's not considered self-guarded. You have to be careful with your shor, and therefore when you weren't careful and it went and it damaged someone, you really should have paid the entire amount. It's just that the Torah has Rachmanos because it's not yet a Muad. So since it's not yet a Muad, the Torah has Rachmanos that you're only going to have to pay Chatzi Nezek. Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua Amar Knasa. Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua says that no, Palganiskas Knasa is because he holds Kasavar Stam Shor Mecheska Shimur Kaimi, that an average Shor is self guarded. You have the right to assume that it's not going to do anything, and therefore Bedinu Dilo L'Shem Klal. Really, you shouldn't have had to pay anything. V'Rachmanu Dekansi Kiyechi Dilin Terei L'Turei. But it's a special Knas that the Torah has so that a person will guard his Shor, even though it's self guarded. We specifically make a knas that you can have to pay chatzi nezek if it does damage to encourage someone to guard his shor. That's the basis of the dispute. Now Rashi says l'may naf kamina, whether palganiska is mamona or palganiska knasa. So Rashi writes in Dibra Masl Mamona dinu sheish lamenu ve'enu knas v'naf kamina di imode mekame da asu sahadi lo miftar. That if your mode before witnesses show up to Beis Din, then you're not going to be pater if it's mamon. Meaning when you admit mamon, you're going to be chayiv in the mamon. But if you admit to knas, even though edim come afterwards, you're going to be pater from the knas. It's unclear why Rashi has to say mekame da asusadi, which implies that edim ultimately come. Just say imode, that if you're mode b'mamon, you're going to be chayiv. If you're mode b'knas, you're going to be pater. Probably all Rashi's trying to say is that being mode after Edom already came is not going to help you when it comes to knas. That you have to be mode before Edom came. But it's a lav dafka that Edom coming later is not going to be able to change things. That was a machlokas. If you're mode b'knas v'achach bo Edom, that was a machlokas today. That still might change things later on. Pnei Yeshua discusses what exactly to be medayik from that Rashi. But bottom line is, this is the machlokas whether palganiska is mamona or palganiska is kenasa. How does it relate to our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah alluded to the idea that the mazik and the nizik somehow divide the payment for the nizik between them. So which shita does that fit better? Tanan, ha nizik va mazik b'tashlumin. Bishlam l'man yamar palganiska mamona, haynu d'shayach nizik b'tashlumin. If you assume palganiska mamona, that really means that you should have had to pay the whole thing. But the mazik is only going to have to pay half, which means that the nizik is bearing the burden of the other half. The other half of the money that he's entitled to, he's not getting. So it's ki'ilu, he's paying for that. He's losing out of pocket that money. So that's what the Mishnah means, that both the mazik and the nizik are b'tashlumin. El me'andrin palganiska k'nasa. But if you hold palganiska k'nasa, which means the nizik is really entitled to nothing. Really, you shouldn't have to pay anything. And it's just that we're konis the mazik so that we could encourage him to watch his shor a little better. Sahasha t'lav didei shakil b'tashlumin isay. It's all a boon. It's all what the nizik is getting is something that he's not even entitled to in the first place. The half that he's getting is not even entitled to in the first place. So you're going to say that's called that he's b'tashlumin, that in some way he's paying. And when we say that the nizik is going to lose out of pocket, that's talking about the pchas nevela. That if at the time that his animal was killed, it was right after its death, a fresh nevela, it was worth $100, and now by the time they went to the Din Torah, it's not now only worth $25, that loss of the $75 is on the nizik. So that's what it means that the nizik is b'tashlumin. Fractal Gemara b'chas nevela hatana le'resha. We already learned about b'chas nevela. Tashlumin ezek malamit shabaylam metapel b'nevela. We already darshened that the baylam has to be metapel b'nevela. So says Gemara chad b'tam v'chad b'muad. It has to tell me both by a short tam and by a short muad that damages, that kills another animal, that the nizik is metapel b'nevela. Utzrich diash min tam, if it only would have told me in the case of a short tam that kills, that the nizik is metapel b'nevela, mishum dakati lo yayid. I would say, yeah, it's the nizik's problem because we don't want to overburden the mazik. After all, the animal that did the damage was not even a muad. Aval muad e malo, but where the animal that did the damage was a muad and really should have been guarded a lot better, so maybe we should not place the burden of the pchas nevela on the nizik. Maybe we should not make that loss of pchas nevela something that the nizik is going to have to bear. V'yashmin a muad, and if it would have only told me that pchas nevela is on the nizik in a case of a muad, mishum de Meshalem Kulei, I would say, yeah, that's because the Nizik is getting the whole payment. So let him at least deal with the Pchas Nevela. Let the devaluation of the Nevela at least be on his head. After all, he's getting paid
the full amount. Aval tam, but by a tam, a malo, where he's only getting half of the payment in the first place, how much more do you want to take away from the nizik? He's already only getting half, and now you're going to take away the pchas nevela as well. So tzricha, that's why he needs to tell me that yes, indeed, he deals with the pchas nevela, both by a case of a short tam and by a case of a short muad, and that's what our mission is teaching me. But now the Gemara is going to try to bring rayas to the in this machlokas. Palganiska, is it mamona or is it knasa? We're going to have three possible rayas, and then we're going to come to a halachic conclusion. Tashema, raya number one about palganiska. Ma bein tam lemuad, shatam mishalim chatzi nezik megufo, umuad mishalim nezik shalim in aliyah. Difference between a tam and a muad is a tam pays chatzi nezik, but only up until the value of the tam itself. And a muad pays nezek shalem even well beyond the value of the animal of the animal that was mazik itself. V'yemisa listening namiha tamein mishalem piatzmo mum mishalem al piatzmo. But if palganiska is kenasa, we know that nezek shalem is definitely mamona, right? And the nafkamina between kenasa and mamona is if you're moda b'kenasa is pater, moda b'mamon is chayiv. So shouldn't that have been a better nafkamina between the tam and the muad? You want to highlight the difference between the tam and the muad. So yes, one is chatzi nezek, one is nezek shalem. One is migufo, one is min aliyah. But there's another difference that a tam doesn't pay if he was moda. He doesn't pay al piatzmo. A muad will pay even if the owner is moda, because it's mamon. So why didn't we list that as one of the differences between a tam and a muad? It says maratana v'shayim. It meant to list it, but we left out other differences anyway. Well, my shayir dahay shayir, you can only say that we left out other differences if we in fact left out other differences. Meaning, it can't be that we gave a list of the differences between tam and muad and we only left one thing off the list. It has to be, if we left something off the list, that we left more than one difference off the list. So Shair Chatzi Kofer. One of the things that we left off the list is if Muad kills a person, he pays Kofer to the Yarshim. A Tam doesn't even pay Chatzi Kofer. Meaning the fact that a Tam pays half of what a Muad pays is not always true. When it comes to Kofer, the Kofer payment for killing a person, the Tam doesn't pay at all. The Muad pays Kofer Shalim. So Fraktumar Imishum Chatzi Kofer Lav Shiuruhu. That's not really called something left off the list, because Taman Rabbi Yosef Glili, Damar Tam Shalim Chatzi Kofer. Maybe we're assuming, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that a tam in fact pays chatzi kofer. And that's not a difference between a tam and a muad, because we already said one of the differences is that a tam pays half of what a muad pays. So the fact that a muad pays kofer shalim and a tam pays chatzi kofer is not an additional difference that's included in the tam paying half of whatever a muad pays. It's only if the tam doesn't pay any kofer that it would be an additional difference that should have been on the list. So says Gemara, Tashma, let's try to bring another raya. Whether palganiska mona, palganiska knasa, hamis shorius ploni, o shoru shal ploni. If a guy says, my ox, he admits, my ox killed this guy, or killed this guy's shor. So the halacha is, hareza mishalim al piatzmo. Even though he admitted to it, he's going to have to pay. My lav bitam, isn't it talking about a tam? And you see, therefore, the palganiska mamona. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to pay if you're being moda on your own. Says Mara, lo bimuad. It's talking about a shor muad. That's why he has to pay if he admits, because by a muad, everyone agrees that it's mamon. Aval tam mai. What would the din be by a tam? Hachinami dein mishalim al piatzmo. Maybe a nechinami, if it was a tam, he would not have to pay based on his own admission. So ihach, yeah, but if that were the case, that he would not have to pay based on his own admission for a short time, adetani seifa, when the seifa wants to contrast this chiyuv, when one is moda with something else, what does it say? The seifa says, heim is shori es avdo shel ploni. If the guy admits that my shor killed this guy's eved, ein mishalim al piatzmo. You don't pay for the payment of killing an eved, the 30 slum that you would normally have to pay for killing an eved based on your own admission, because that's a knas payment. But couldn't we have made a better distinction? Couldn't we have liflog v'listening b'didei? We could have made the distinction within the case of a person saying hamis shori es ploni, and even there, in some instances, you'd be pater by saying b'medvar mamurim b'muad. When are you chayiv? When you admit that your ox killed somebody? That's only if it's a shor muad. Aval b'tam einu mishalim al piatzmo. But if it's a shor tam, then you don't pay based on your own admission. So why don't we give that as the chiluk? Answers Gemara, kula b'muad kamayri. Maybe it's because we wanted the whole Mishnah to be talking about a muad, so that's why we didn't make that distinction. Meaning, who says, litlag lusim b'didei is a question you could ask when you have a better distinction, when you're asking me, merchak tavi lachma, why are you bringing in a brand new case when you could bring a case that's so much more similar, that fits so much more neatly, but it doesn't necessarily fit more neatly to distinguish between the tam and the muad, any more than it does to distinguish between your ox killing a regular guy and your ox killing an eved. They're both reasonable distinctions, so the Mishnah wanted to talk all about a muad and make the distinction between killing a regular person and killing an eved. So Gemara says, okay, raya number three. Is palganiska mamon or is palganiska knasa? Tashma will bring a third raya. Zaklau. Whenever you're paying for more than the value of the damage, you're not going to pay based on your own admission, because that's what we call a knas. My love, hapachus mashizik mishalim. Doesn't that imply that if you're paying less than the damage that you did, then you would pay al pi atzmo, even when you're moda? Chatzi nezek is less than the damage that you did, and you see that you would pay when you admit it. So you see that palganiska is mamona. Says Amar lo. That's not the diuk to make. It's saying you never pay more than you damage al piatzmo. The implication is that when it's exactly aligns, when your payment aligns with the damage, that you would pay al piatzmo. But if it's less than you damage, that you wouldn't pay either. Frankly, Gemara, but if that's true, that you never pay al pi atzmo when it's either more than the damage or less than the damage, then wouldn't there have been a better way to formulate that rule rather than just saying you never pay al pi atzmo when it's more than the damage? Iachi adetani zakal kol mashalim yoser al mashiz again mashalim al pi atzmo. Instead of formulating the rule that whenever you pay more than the damage, you don't pay based on your own admission, listening, you should say zakal kol she'enu mashalim kim. It should have just said, whenever the payment does not perfectly align with the damage, you don't pay al piatzmo. And that would have covered both if the payment is greater than the damage and if the payment is less than the damage. Both of those things are a knas. Demashma pachos mashma yoser. That would imply more or less. So therefore, tiyufta, the fact that it doesn't say that, that's a tiyufta, that shows you that if what you're paying is less than the damage, you would pay al piatzmo. And therefore, it seems to be a raya brura, the palganiska mamona, that you would pay al piatzmo. So it must be that it's mamona. Vihilchasa, and therefore we come to the conclusion, palganiska knasa. So the Gemara says, what? Tiyufta vihilchasa? You just asked the tiyufta on palganiska knasa. You came to the conclusion, everything was pointing in the direction of mamona, and then the very next words out of our mouth are hilchasa palganiska knasa, in the other direction, in. What was the whole tiyufta? That we didn't formulate the rule as being that whenever you're not paying exactly aligned with what you damage, that you're going to be pater al piatzmo. Lo psikole, kivendika chatzi nezek tsoros. The reason we didn't formulate the rule that way is that it's not always true. Sometimes when you're paying less than you damage, it in fact is mamon, and you would pay al piatzmo, and that's by tsroros. See, by with the chatzi nezek we're talking about over here is a short time when it gored somebody. Tsroros is regel. The animal's walking along, and a rock shoots out from under its feet. So there's a separate din over there also that you pay chatzi nezek. Now that hilchsa gemirila de mamonahu. We have halach l'moshe misinai, or at least some understand it means halach l'moshe misinai, that it's a din in mamon in that case. So that you would pay al piatzmo. So that's why mishum hachi lo katani. That's why we couldn't say that whenever the payment doesn't perfectly align with the damage, it's a knas, and you're not going to be mishalim al piatzmo, because there's an exception to that rule. When it's tsroros, it would be al piatzmo, because that's a din in mamon. And therefore, we can say that palganiska is, in fact, knasa by a short time. Palganiska's knasa by tsroros, it's mamon. Vashadarm palganiska knasa. Now that we come to this conclusion, the palganiska knasa, so then it would turn out that the following would be true. If you can say palganiska knasa, hai kalba da achal imri. If you have a dog that goes and eats some wool, which is not normal for a dog to eat. Vishunro, you have a cat Dachla Tarnagola, that eats a chicken, Mishunahu. That's an unusual way to damage. That's therefore a tolda of Keren. So it pays Chatzi Nezek until it becomes a Muad to do that. Velo Magbinan Bibavel. And therefore, since it's a Kanas, the Batei Din in Bavel are not equipped to deal with it. They can't collect such payments because you need Dayanam Mumchim and Smuchim to collect Dine Knasos. And in Bavel, the Dayanam don't have Smicha. Hani Mili Biravrvi. That's only when you're talking about a large sheep, Imra is a sheep, rather. Right? It's not a wool. That's talking about when you're talking about large sheep or large cats. Aval Bezutri, but if you're talking about small large chickens, but if you're talking about small ones, Urchehu, then it's normal for a dog and a cat to eat those types of animals, and therefore that would be a tolda of Shein, and that you would be able to be done in Bavel. The itafas, but in any event, if the Nizik were to grab the money, lo mafkinamine, we would not be able to take it back away from him. The Amar Kavali Zimna da Zilna Laradi Yisrael, and if the Nizik would say, he's not tofes the money, but he says, I want to set a date that we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael where there are smuchim to deal with this case, kavinanle, the lo azim shantinanle, then we establish such a date, and if the Mazik doesn't want to go, we put him in a nidui. And whether the Nizik asks for a set date to go to Eretz Yisrael or not, Beis Din warns the Mazik that if he doesn't do this, we're going to put him in a nidui Adam Salik Hazeka until he gets rid of the Mazik. Meaning he certainly has to get rid of the damaging animal. Mid Rabbi Nassin. That we learn from the drasha of Rabbi Nassin. Detani Rabbi Nassin Omer Minayin Shlo Yigadol Adam Kelav Rab B'soch Beiso V'Liyamet Sulam Ru'ua B'soch Beiso. How do I know a person can't have a dangerous dog in his house, or a bad ladder in his house that someone could fall down and could kill themselves? You have to get anything that's dangerous out of your house. That's a separate issue in the Torah. It's all discussion whether kelev ra is a description of every kelev, or a kelev ra is a specific type of kelev, that only when a kelev is known to be ra is it a kelev ra. A lot to talk about on that particular point, but okay, Beth Shem will pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow. All right.